Hey guys, welcome to the Wrong Turn Podcast. This week we're going to be taking a little bit of a break. We're going to be posting up an old episode from an old horror podcast I used to run with another friend of mine. And we're going to be talking about The Lodge on this episode. So I hope you guys enjoy. And we'll be back next week with another episode with me and Court. And we'll be doing Debug. See you guys then.
That he just got all excited and weird when he started working here. This place made him soft, and so,
aww.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining. I just think it's hilarious because it's just very uncharacteristic of him. But it is what it is.
That's very sweet, though.
You're very sweet,
also.
Though.
Oh, thank you. Also, this is a horror movie mini podcast.
So I was gonna try to bring it back around. Okay.
And so I watched A Girl Walks Home Alone at night yesterday, and I played a horror video game today. So I got things to talk about. Do you guys have things to talk about?
Yes, I saw a couple of movies. Some I can't remember right now, and
that was a good movie then.
Well, just because it was like a barrage of movies over the last few weeks. So I'm going to try to pick and choose what I remember, and that didn't make a whole lot of sense, but let's see what I can recall. And then
more importantly, Andrea,
I saw a movie with Andrea a few weeks ago, and I was going to actually start this episode with, I was friends with Andrea, well before I knew that she was into horror movies. So this just kind of added an extra, like, you know, belt.
A spice.
To our friendship, because I was just like, oh shit, Dre, you like horror movies too? And then we stayed up like one night talking about horror movies for a fucking very long time after Dozy's, you know, garage.
The Dozy's shenanigans.
Yeah. I forgot where we worked. So yeah. Dozy's garage.
Dozy is very talented.
Dre, do you remember that we saw this movie The Lodge a few weeks ago, maybe like a month ago already?
So you kindly reminded me, and so yes, now I remember that we saw this movie called The Lodge, and I do also remember what happens vaguely. I liked it.
Is this movie even that good if you didn't remember it?
It's good. If he's, you know, some background then on me, I don't remember things in general. I don't know, you know, when a song comes on the radio, I don't know who sings it. Like, I just don't know things. So when we watch movies, and I've told, this is part of our conversation that I had with Edgar about the horror movies that night, was I really love them because I feel as though maybe I'm a masochist and I just enjoy feeling fear and being startled and these things, and I'll get like angry, you know, but I like it, you know what I mean? So I go more for like the emotion and the feeling than I do to recollect what the person's name was or like who they fucked or, well, you know, who died for. I recognize patterns. I enjoy mostly the comedic aspect of them because they tend to be pretty freaking horrible from my experience. And I think that's what we talked about that night. It was mainly like how terrible they are. So The Lodge was not terrible. It was interesting. Most of them will have holes. I can't think of one right now. It'll probably come up, but I know that it had to do with a guy and his two kids, and he like, oh, can we spoil things?
I mean, this movie came out, oh, I was gonna say 2 years ago, but like, yeah, like, all right, spoiler.
I've literally never even heard of it, so.
I don't have a person who cares. Okay, but maybe, what if the people, whatever. I'm just gonna do my best, and if I do, you know, you do your magic, but I
I can, you know, you also like prefaced it with, oh man, can we do spoilers? So like, I feel like whoever is listening is prepped enough to know, I think she's going to spoil a little bit.
Cool. All right. And now that we've decided that I will, because I've learned my lesson, but I am...
Some people are very serious about spoilers and it like enrages them, and some people don't care.
They are, but you know what? To whoever's listening, I don't think anyone should be pissed about getting spoilers for any of these horror movies that are like very whatever. Like, why? I don't know. You know, just don't worry about it. Take it easy, man. Just sit back, enjoy the loopholes and the you know, terrible writing at times, and just pay attention to the person. Always look at the background. Always pay attention to the freaking background. Maybe you fall into like the one movie where nobody did anything to the background and you're just gonna be bored the whole movie because you just literally miss the main character's face for the whole time. But most of the time, look in the background. But yeah, the dude has two kids, and then they go with his new girlfriend Grace because he left the ex-wife, and the ex-wife is Alyssa Silverstone. Am I right about this?
Yeah, Edgar? Buddy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, check
that you haven't out. Seen right. Since like, when's the last time you saw Alicia Silver?
Silverstein.
Yeah,
Silverfish.
Like, I haven't seen Alicia Silverstone since fucking Clueless, you know? Or like, but like, yeah. So
wait a minute, because I wasn't sure who exactly you're talking about, but it's the main girl from Clueless.
The main girl from Clueless plays the kid's mom, you know.
I love Clueless.
Okay, well, wait, yeah. Ashley, were we allowed to spoil this for you? Did you care if this
movie... I don't care.
Okay, cool.
I don't think...
Go ahead, Dre.
Spoiler alert. And I'm definitely gonna ruin your excitement right now because you saw her and you're like, I love Clueless. Yeah, well,
I do. She's just so pretty. Her hair was so nice. Her outfits were so cute.
Yeah, and you know what? She's relatively ageless. She looks very pretty in here too for all of the 2 minutes that she's in the movie. At the very beginning of it, she decides to just off herself because it's just too much for her to handle that her husband is leaving her. For some bitch, you know.
Me too.
And, feels right. So he's like, fucking yo, kids, I got a fucking great idea. Yo, let's go on a trip with this new chick that you probably hate because your mom's dead, by the way. So
I fucking love this fucking replay of this fucking movie so much right now. Keep fucking going.
So he has the fucking genius idea, but this is what I mean, you know, they're fucking hilarious. Yeah. Who thinks of these things? The guy's like, let's go to a really, really remote location in the middle of nowhere, but I'm gonna work the entire time that you're there. Like, I'm going to say that I'm coming back. It's fine. I'm coming back. I'm going to go work.
He's getting milk.
I definitely checked the weather, though, before, and there's going to be a blizzard. So really, I'm not coming back. You guys are going to have to figure your shit out. And so he leaves him with that chick. Like, I think she wanted to go with him. In fact, she was like, please don't fucking do this to me. You're an idiot. Like, don't do it. Because she's like, what, 12 years old? The girl's five years older than that girl?
The new girlfriend isn't much older than the son played by Jaden Martell from the It movies. He was the main kid. Yeah, he was it not Georgie, but who's the other brother? I forgot.
The older brother of Georgie.
He's one of the kids.
Yes.
And whatever, like the girlfriend is probably like fucking 6 years older than him. Essentially, you mm-hmm. you assume that the father is. I think the father is like an English teacher, and like maybe
scumbag man.
Yeah, maybe he fell in love with one of his students, and now
bastard.
And then, not to mention that the first time they meet the new girlfriend is the first time they're gonna go on a trip together. So like, not only have I just met you, now I'm stuck with you. Inside a fucking remote location that I cannot leave.
Like Alaska.
Yeah, and my mom is dead. Thanks. Well, I think this movie was shot like in somewhere in like Scandinavia or something because the architecture was very European. Like it was covered in snow. Like everything seemed really small and very like utilitarian. But yeah, I had that sense that they filmed it abroad. I could have looked it up, but I didn't want to. All right, so Dre.
No. You make me feel. I want you to keep talking, to be honest, because you make me feel like I'm rewatching it. The details that he adds to my explanations are the details you need to know. Like, I didn't remember that he was a teacher or that she was his student. Or
they don't mention it, but I think that's where, you know, like this kind of, I think it's implied.
Yeah, and I'm impressed with just the arc. You were like, oh, this architecture is small and probably European. I'm like, what architecture? The log cabin? There was a log cabin. It was just a log cabin the entire time.
Did the log cabin have dainty little flowers painted on them?
No, because they
didn't say welcome to Scandinavia. Like, that's the only way I would have known. You know what I mean?
No, because they spent some time at the guy's house. And they have the kid's bedroom, you know. I'm like, what's wrong with this? Like, the bedroom does not look like big and American. Essentially, is what you would have like a kid's room look like. It looked very tiny, even for a kid's room. Like, she barely had like any furniture. It looked foreign to me, is what I'm trying to tell you. And what else did I remember? Oh, not to mention that they go over this thing where the new girlfriend is basically a cult survivor. Like, she was a survivor of Children of God, essentially, but kind of like a knockoff Children of God. So like, they go through this whole thing, if you remember that, Dre. And the kids are kind of fucked up. The kids are gonna like, oh wait, let me go back to this thing. The first time I saw this trailer, it looked fucking badass. I thought this trailer was gonna be super intense, or I thought this movie's gonna be super intense, kind of like a Hereditary, because that's what the trailer made me feel like. And I was like, oh man, I think I might get real fucking scared in this fucking movie. I fell a little short, you know.
Absolutely.
Did not meet my expectations, but it was
drawn out. At times it was a little quiet, you know, like it was a lot, it was very like, was it deep perhaps? Like, she was very damaged, you know, that girl. And it just, I guess it put that vibe in the movie where you wanted to feel bad for her, but then you also hated her. And it just, you're very confused the whole time. So much so that I don't even remember how I ended up feeling about her. She was an asshole, wasn't she? Or were the kids the assholes? I know that the kids were assholes. They ended up being like torturing her. We thought that the kids were actually like trying to be nice and she was the bitch. And then it turns out in the end that the kids were actually like completely plotting with each other against her and make like torturing her to the point where they were driving her insane. They couldn't communicate.
They did everything. They
fucked with the house, like they locked her out or whatever.
They cut the communication from the house, I think, and then like they cut the electricity. They made the food disappear, making it seem like somebody was in the house. And they made this chick think that she was crazy, be like, oh, you walk around the house at night because you're fucking sleepwalking all the fucking time. What the fuck's wrong with you? And then the kids started playing into this thing where it was just like, don't you fucking understand? We already died. We died while we were here. Now we're just in fucking purgatory. And for a moment, you're like, yo, I'm kind of on, like, yeah, like, I think so. Like, for a moment, they had me. Yeah, they had me there for a second. And they kind of fucked up, and the tricks go a little too far. And, like, the dog gets out. She has, like, a tiny, what is it? Not a Shih Tzu, but, like, a Shih Tzu-like dog. It gets out, and it freezes to death. And, like, that's kind of, like, that's what happened. It kind of fucks
I'm with her. I'm boycotting this movie.
Do it.
Wait,
absolutely.
Wait, you know what's kind of fucked up?
Did it really freeze? I can't remember that part. Probably because I don't want to.
The kids didn't mean it for that to happen. I think the dog just got out, probably because they buried some of the food outside. And like, I think the dog was just going after the food and the dog froze to death because it's fucking, I don't know, somewhere in between Scandinavia and Alaska where it's very cold. And
it's somewhere between cold and cold.
Yeah. And you know what I just remembered? This chick, she, but that might have been a dream. Where she leaves the house and she just goes like walking. and they're telling her to like, no, don't go walking, or don't fucking go out there, you'll fucking freeze to death. And she goes walking forever, and then she comes back to the house, and that's where you really think she's fucking dead or some shit like that. You remember that, or is that just a dream that
happened? I don't think they're dreams. I think that those things were actually happening, which made it easier for them to like make her think that she was crazy, because she didn't have her medication. Is that what it was?
They took her medication too. They took her medication. Super fucked up.
So she started.
What kind of medication?
Like, I don't think they ever really specified.
Antipsychotic, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. You were led to believe that she was like she had hallucinations, and she just was like maybe schizophrenic, and she just had like, I don't know, depression, all everything. She was like a damaged. She was damaged. You know.
Made her real attractive to this teacher to take advantage of.
With her pills. He liked her with her pills.
maybe. She's
flipping out. But I'm blanking a little bit on how it ended, and I don't...
Oh, I got you covered.
Or is this a different movie? I'm thinking of a completely fucking different movie.
You're good so far. But the dad eventually is like, hey, I wonder how my kids are doing. And like decides to fucking
I have kids.
I fucking have kids. And like he's like, I wonder how my kids and my girlfriend are doing. Maybe I don't know. I'm just making it. Maybe he's sleeping with another
my
woman.
Kids who have never met this woman that I left alone to die. Oh, now they're getting along.
Who just lost their fucking mother? I mean, of course they do a fast forward, and it's like 6 months later. But still, that's not enough time.
It's essentially like, congratulations, we upgraded your mom to shitty teenager mom, and go off to Alaska Vania. Bye. I'm going to work. Bye.
Yeah, and I don't know what teacher is so fucking important that they can't bring a fucking laptop or fucking papers to grade, but yeah. Or he's a writer or some shit. Oh, yeah, he was writing a book on her because she's a survivor of like essentially a cult. And they do the whole they do the whole footage where kind of like Children's Gate, where they have like the people laying down and their weird costumes, and then like she's like the only survivor because she's made her role is to pass on their story essentially, and
like Heaven's Gate.
Yeah. So not fucking Children of God. Sorry, Heaven's Gate. My bad. So fucking. The award of the year goes to fucking his bad dad. He gives his kids a call. He's like, I can't get fucking through. And then he decides to fucking go over there. He so much, like, it's so hard to fucking get there that apparently he has to call a snowplow to meet him on the side of the road because that's how remote this fucking place was.
How the fuck did they get there?
Well, it wasn't snowing that bad, I guess, at that time. And then gets there. Grace has lost her fucking mind because of the fucking kids. The kids pull a good prank at the end, like
the sick ass prank.
The kids pull the cherry on top was that the fucking Georgie's brother like basically hangs himself.
And, sick prank.
Well, he hangs himself and then he pulls this thing where like, see, we can't die. And then he just like wakes up because he did like a suspension thing, and that really fucks with her.
That was scary.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me put some fucking whatever in it. Like in the Heathers.
Yeah, like exactly. Remember we were talking about her. Bringing it back to the Heathers. Great movie. See,
always got to bring it back to the Heathers.
Exactly like the Heathers. So basically that makes her lose her fucking shit. Bad dad of the year also gave Grace a gun at the beginning of the movie.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, don't forget about this gun I gave you.
Spicy Nerf games.
Yeah, exactly. So she loads that fucking shit up and I forgot what she was going to do. Actually, if they were already dead and they couldn't die, I don't know what she planned to do with the, oh no. It's the cult
her
thing.
Bears?
The part of the cult was that they have to basically purge themselves from all sin or something like that and kill themselves so they can be accepted into the kingdom of heaven. And
you know,
yeah,
Edgar, the game that I played today, Sagebrush, has a lot to do with is a cult video game about like someone who's like going through like this ex cult. So it'll be great when you finish talking about this movie. I can go into that video game. That's so exciting because there's a link. I found the dots. I've connected the dots.
I mean, it's the, it kind of, bad dad gets there. Grace shoots him in the fucking face in front of the kids. The kids now have lost both parents. And then they sit around for a nice lunch and where they're going to eat bullet sandwiches for dinner. Nice. That was pretty much the fucking end of the movie. I wasn't as good as Dre over here telling it, but yeah, it's got some good stuff. It's got some decent stuff, but they also had that thing where they were trying to play into the dolls being, or not being like, not metaphors for what's going on, but like the dolls being sort of like a, not a placeholder, but like a replica of what's going on in the movie. So at the beginning of the movie, I wasn't really paying attention to the dolls, much like in Hereditary, where like,
yeah, the little figurines.
Yeah, you see that being a reflection of the movie. In this movie, the dolls were a foreshadowing of things that were actually happening. They were like really,
because yeah, in Hereditary they're parallel to what's already happened.
Yeah,
because she makes the dioramas.
Mm-hmm. And but what you find out is that these dolls were just the kids planning the like their whole
their heist.
Yeah, yeah, the exactly. Giant prank. Like we're gonna drug the girl on the first night. We're gonna make all the food disappear. We're gonna hide everything. And I'm gonna hang myself in the attic and scare the shit out of her. So
that's so fucked up, though. Like, who's just like, my prank is to drug my stepmom, stepgirlfriend, the thingy going on, and scare the shit out of her by feigning suicide. Suicide is like finding someone who has killed themselves is easily like one of the most traumatic things that can happen to someone, and being like fun like that's such a great prank, guys, lol, like and subscribe, like no, that's not, that's not okay.
Yeah, these kids are fucked up. These kids were super fucked up.
But and if they know she's not on her medication, like that she's already like on a different edge and a different ledge, they don't even know, because they don't know her. They do know that she's off her meds, and you don't know what kind of like what kind of backlash that can have on someone's brain, especially when you think someone died, especially it's like, oh shit, my boyfriend's kid is dead. That's fucked up. That's not funny. That's just horrifying. But yeah, these kids are little shitheads.
Yeah,
the little one I feel like can get away with it because she's little. The boy, you know,
the one who knows better.
Yeah, like he definitely, they make it very known later on that he felt really bad, because they get together and they're like, oh shit, we've gone too far, like what do we do now? And they didn't really say like, well, fucking, we're here, we gotta keep going now, but that's kind of what they said, and they just kept going. And so it's not like you feel, it's not like you're like, oh, they felt bad, let's give them the benefit. No, they fucking kept fucking going. So
yeah,
I don't feel bad for them, but I will say that that whole, yes, finding somebody like that has to be traumatic, but I think we're skipping the part, or not skipping, but maybe I'm remembering wrong, correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like part of the cult thing implied, maybe didn't say exactly, but implied that she had definitely seen death before, and not just because of the sacrifices, but she'd like maybe killed people before, and that was the gun. Like the cult made them kill the people that sinned, no, like they like the like sacrifice them, so they would send people to sacrifice. She was one of the people that got sent, so she's used a gun before. She's, I think they didn't say it, but I think I got the impression she'd actually killed someone before, which she never says, or nobody ever, you know, says in the movie.
It's never like recognized or commented about.
Yeah, yeah, but because it's part of why they you know, they didn't drug her, they undrugged her. It's part of why she got so fucked up after they took away the meds. Everything started to come back, like, ooh, all the memories, like, and everything kind of started.
So all the
back.
PTSD.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I. That's
it's
what
harder
I
to comment when I've never seen this movie, so I have like no idea, like if there's any like these nuances.
Well, she starts seeing her. She starts seeing her dad, like who was the leader of this cult. And then the bad dad gives her the gun at the beginning of the movie, and she's like, well, you need to know how to use it. And then she just goes like fucking, I don't know, like fucking Billy the Kid. She just starts shooting at the range and she's really good at it. And then he feels emasculated and they move on. But yeah.
Oh, no, my daughter can't be better than shooting at me. My peepee's too big.
But like, also like, why the fuck would you give a strange, like some random person a fucking gun? Like, yeah. And like, he knows that she's a survivor of this because I think he's writing a book on her. So like, man.
Yeah, and I think that also ties into why the kids ended up fucking with her when he shared with the kids. I think either they overheard or he shared with them, because he was pretty open with them. It was like the way that he convinced them to come with him, because they were like, absolutely not, this is a terrible idea. And he's like, well, you're coming, you have to. And so he tells them that, and they actually use his laptop to watch a video of like all these deaths and all these things, right? Is this the same movie?
Yeah, no, they do very their research.
Friendly.
Yeah, they break in. Well, they don't break it, but they go into the dad's office and then they do the research on her, and that's how they know to fuck with her. Like, they know what things to say to like trigger her. You know,
that already is going too far.
Yeah, they say like
IMO.
Yeah, they say like, well, we're already dead, and this is our punishment for our sin, and they're using all these words, and she's just like, yeah, they're just like, and you could see her fucking start to fucking flip out. Yeah, but like I was saying before, how the fuck did she walk, get lost, and basically end up in a circle and walk back to the house? Because I thought that was a dream. Because in real life, you fucking leave in a fucking snowstorm, you're lost, you're fucked. Like,
you are no fucked.
Way. Yeah, you're no way you're fucking coming back. You know. But I think she found her trail and she ended up following the trail back to her house. But by accident, because she thought it was somebody else's trail. But yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because I accidentally do this all the time in video games. Like, I get so caught up in moving, I end up going backwards. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why does everything look so fucking familiar? Like,
all right. So you're telling me it's more natural than. Impossible.
Yeah, no, dude, because okay, this is a thing that women, unfortunately, it's not like, I think in me in particular, it's just pretty bad. Like, women have less adept spatial location skills compared to men, because you know, evolution, like, men had to be hunter-gatherers, so because of needing to be able to hunt, they have better spatial skills, and women naturally have better foraging skills, because Dre, that's what true? They were attuned to.
Dre, as a woman, is that true? How's your spatial recognition?
If I am concentrating, I can remember stuff, but otherwise I'm not paying attention to where the fuck I we started this whole conversation with not knowing where we're at, so I'm here, but I don't know exactly where here is. I don't know if I'm facing north, south, east, west, but I can figure it out if I really want to think about it. Does that help at all? Is that answering your question?
I think it does. Okay. I think you helped proof my point.
Cool, thanks.
Like, for me personally, I get lost, like, even in places I know relatively well, or like if I've been to it once or twice before, I feel way too confident. And when I don't know shit, I went to a park and I was just like, no, this is cool, it's all good, I've been down this trail. And then I took a weird turn and I didn't know where I was, and I was scared, and I think I cried because I didn't know where I was, and I was in the middle of a forest. So I believe I have terrible spatial location skills, and I know it's pretty common in women.
Well,
so I would get caught up in a snowstorm.
You're brushing off the real, like, some real important stuff there. So, like, what were you hiding in the forest?
I wasn't hiding in the forest. I went to get pancakes.
What were you hiding? Oh, okay. A random place to get fucking pancakes, actually.
So there's this pancake food truck that goes to this location. I am not gonna say, because it will reveal where we live. And outside, it's like a park forest. And at the very corner is a pancake food truck, and it's really good. And if you go inside the park is like very foresty, not like swings and slides, but just like fucking nature, bro. And yeah, and I got lost, and I get really, really stressed out to the point of crying when I get lost, because I feel like I'm gonna die there and never, you know, because I have no confidence in my survival skills at all. I may watch a lot of horror movies, but I could never survive a horror movie. I could never survive an apocalypse. I would simply give up and die.
That'll be a premise for another episode for sure. We're definitely gonna be playing that game.
I don't blame you, but I will say this, and this is not to like make any women out there feel any. I don't know. I'm pretty confident about like being able to eventually find my way out of things. That park's a rectangle. So, like, I don't think, like, you don't.
Wait, do you know the park that I'm talking about?
Yeah, man. You just described the shit out of it. Of course, I know what park you're talking about. It's like a fucking. You said pancake food truck. I wrote it down. And as soon as I finished writing pancake food truck down in a colorful pencil, I'm like, I know exactly what fucking park she's talking about.
Yeah.
That's delicious. That place is good.
It is.
Shout out
good.
To those people. Yeah, no, that's a rectangle. You walk in any direction, you'll
but it's eventually huge. Find
your, it is. You know what? Like, where are you from? Are you from here?
Yes.
Okay. So,
but I didn't grow up in that area. Okay. It, like, I live in the westest point of my area, so I know my area. Okay. That little section is like 20 minutes away from me. So I didn't venture there too often, but my friends in high school used to go there to do illegal activities. So they would go there, and I, being a lame little baby, would be left home to not hang out with them, because they didn't want to hang out with me because I didn't want to be illegal. So yeah, I never got to go there. I only ever went there once when we had a tea party and a giant spider came down on our tea party in our abandoned playground. Aww. And I was freaking the fuck out because it was a giant writing spider. And I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're like bright yellow and black and with white speckles and stuff. And that motherfucker was fucking humongous. He was like, it felt like he was as big as a baseball mitt, but like realistically he was not. I was just very scared.
Maybe. But yeah. You were tiny, so it was a lot bigger then.
I was much smaller then. I was probably like 15 and scared out of my mind. So...
Yeah. Well, I just didn't realize you were reenacting some sort of fucked up version of Alice in Wonderland. Fucking tea party and spiders. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, dude. It's in an abandoned part, in like a super nasty abandoned playground that like the nails were coming out of the wooden playground like steps. Like it was creepy as hell.
Oh, shit. Now I don't know if I'm thinking of the same place. But I mean, what other fucking place has a pancake food truck?
I think it's really interesting that you said that your friendship with Andrea bloomed pre your knowledge of her liking horror movies. Edgar, I don't even remember how we became friends. I'm not sure. Because I have been told that you usually do not like people and you will like ignore the fuck out of them. So I am so grateful that you thought that I was a cool bean.
Oh, no. Well, it wasn't cool enough. I don't ignore people. I just mind my business. And we were working together at Dozy's garage putting up potato chips, and we started talking about horror movies, and like we seemed like in Andrea's case it was friendship and then horror movies, and then in our case it was horror movies and then friendship, we reverse engineered it
if I might add, just
so then like we started, I don't even know how we got into, we were just talking, shooting the shit, and then we started talking about movies and we were like, oh shit, all right, we both know our shit. So and then think next week you asked me to be a part of this project, and then I was like, fuck it, let's go. And
I remember why I wanted to start the project to begin with. Like, we had actually been talking, like, I think a few weeks, and we were talking about like the intensity of horror movies and how like one powerful scene can stay with you for the rest of your life compared to like a like Saw, where it's like constant clusterfuck of gore and like in your face like torture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we eventually like started talking about Hellraiser in space, and I was like telling you about how like I had always thought I had seen Hellraiser, but I actually had actually seen like Hellraiser 2 or 3, and I had gone all of this time thinking I had watched Hellraiser. And whenever I'd talk to anyone and they'd be like, oh, have you seen it? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I saw like part of it, and then they had this weird dog thing, and I just like was a little creeped out, and no one fucking ever corrected me because I watched the original the other day. There's no fucking dog, Andrea. At no point is there a dog. And I was like, nobody told me anything. But you and I were like, oh yeah, Hellraiser in space, and we were talking, and I was like, oh my gosh, Edgar and I are actually pretty funny and entertaining. We should probably make a podcast. And then I was like mulling it over for a while, and I was like, I'm gonna muster up the courage to ask Edgar. And I did.
To be fair, you were actually talking about Hellraiser 4 Bloodline. Just thought I should let you know.
Well, that's the Hellraiser in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where the fuck the dog movie is, but that's, I know there's a fucky dog that splits in half like a Silent Hill enemy.
It's part 4. Yeah, it's part 4.
It's part 3.
Part 3 plays in the fucking club. And I remember when part 3 and part 4 is in space, but it's also like in the past, and it also stars like Adam Scott from Parks and Rec.
What a train.
Well, like when I rewatched it like in the last year, because I obviously I've seen it in the last year, I'm pretty sure. I was like, Adam Scott, Parks and Rec, oh shit.
I know that guy,
I know that fucking guy. This is a far step from Parks and Rec.
Parks and
Rec. But I mean, I was just like, you know, when you asked me to do this, I was just like, oh fuck yeah, I'll fucking, you know, wax poetic about fucking horror movies. I don't know shit. I'm gonna sound like an asshole, but yeah, let's talk.
Okay, we're all assholes.
That's something totally fine. All right, so moving on. Ashley.
Yes. What's creeping me real is I finally watched A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. It was awesome. I loved it. I love the black and white because I think black and white adds the most delicious layer of depth to film. It is so luscious. Like the main vampire girl, she has these ridiculously large like saucer eyeballs and like cutthroat cheekbones, so she looks like this gaunt skull creeping through the shadows on her fucking skateboard like a badass in her like hijab robe hood as she's creeping through the night to like exact justice on fucking perverted DJ pimps of the night. Like, it's so good. It's such a fantastic movie. It's in Persian, so it is subtitled, and that's fine with me. I've been watching anime my whole life. I have no problem reading subtitles, and it's just so much fun. It has so much levity in its little jokes, but so much intensity as well. Like, when it wants to get serious, it gets serious, and the characters are all lovable. But my favorite character is Masuka the cat. Masuka the cat is a chubby motherfucker who has the most gripping like eyeballs. He just looks at you and you just keep looking at him because he's so fucking cute and fat. I love him. Masuka the cat is a real one. You want a picture of Masuka?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find some. Well, I guess I'll
okay. Edgar, be my savior, because I don't know how to, I don't have any other form of contact with Andrea.
Masuka's food.
Masuka is food?
Well, I think
did they name him Food the Cat?
It's food, or it's this character from that serial killer show, Dexter, which is quite appropriate. He was one of the detectives.
Oh, but yeah, no, it's one of those two.
Also, the movie is directed by a woman, which always makes me extremely happy because there's not enough female directors, not enough female stories being told. And I love that this is like a person of color story, a person of color director. It's literally all, and it's vampires. And if you know anything about me, I fucking love vampires. Andrea, I don't think you know, but I literally have a vampire tattoo. Like, I am all about vampires.
I think that your handle gives it away as well.
Yes. Well, because I have a Dracula tattoo on my rib cage of Bela Lugosi's Dracula. Mm. So I'm very deep in it. And it was so much fucking fun. It was great. I could watch a pimp get his finger bitten off by a vampire lady like forever. It was great. It was awesome.
Forever.
Yeah, because he's such a like a fucking asshole. Like, you have your like, because the two main characters are the vampire girl and this boy named Arash, and Arash is the sweetest like young dad. He just saved up enough money to buy himself a car, and it's like a 1950s kind of Cadillac. He's dressed up somewhat like a greaser. You don't really know what time period this movie is in, because you have like 1950s cars, but you also have like flip phones, and like it's just like kind of all over the place, timeline wise. There's also like dingy clubs where they're doing like opioids and lots of drugs everywhere. But his dad is a heroin addict, and his drug dealer is this DJ pimp drug dealer named DJ Porno.
Shut the fuck up. That sounds
who has the most disgusting mustache goatee combo I've ever seen. Like, it looks like a padlock. Like, I don't know how else to describe this atrocity of facial hair. But it's something. He also, on the side of his head, has the word pimp in Arabic tattooed on his head. So, he's fucking fashionable. And
you gotta commit. I'm just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. He steals Arash's car as collateral for his dad not paying for his heroin. And then, with his new car that he stole from Arash, gets a prostitute. She is actually an actress from the show The Blacklist, so she's pretty cool. The vampire lady is like lurking in the background, and she sees this happening. She sees what a scumbag this guy is, and she also sees that he's getting a BGWG in his car, in the car, and she like entraps him like afterwards, because he throws the prostitute out of his car because he wants to go do drugs, and he's like, fuck off, lady. And she like is like, ooh, I'm gonna like follow you. And he takes her back to his place and is like, do you want drugs? And then he proceeds to do three lines of cocaine. So many lines of cocaine. I think that would kill someone, to be honest, if you just like right did three, essentially one right after the other.
I don't think you would die.
Would definitely maybe like overdose. It's because it's three. Three is a lot.
Well, it depends on the person. It depends on,
I guess,
how much baby powder is actually mixed in.
I guess.
Not that I know. I don't know anything, Mom.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but I definitely know they wouldn't die.
Well,
I've read about it, but it definitely
definitely watched a few movies about it.
Definitely watched some things about it, but you're Andrea's not wrong that it is research. Way too many. I definitely have. I can say that for sure.
I mean, I've taken a course on drugs, like how like they affect the human body, but they usually didn't go too much on lethal doses. I guess they were trying to discourage college students from taking lethal doses.
Fair.
I mean, I'm surprised that class wasn't just like a fucking, 3 month long bender to see like the effects of drugs on the human brain, because the only way you're gonna fucking learn is just by getting your hands dirty, kids.
Oh my god. Actually, they had this widget that they made us play that I loved. I thought it was hilarious. It was called Mouse Party. But A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, 10 out of 10.
The only thing I can add to that, I know that they filmed that movie in LA.
In LA, yes.
But they made it look like Iran. It was just like, oh man, that's...
Yeah, they did a fantastic job because you really can't tell. It looks like another country for sure. Yeah, it's very brooding as well.
This is one of those things on my list that I haven't gotten around to watching. And I'm like, dude, I know I'm going to like, everybody's been raving about this fucking movie.
You're going to like it. It's
so fucking good. Yeah. All right. Yeah. And I feel like you didn't give anything away. So like,
I tried not to.
Great.